evening, everyone. This is Mike Quinsey, Connecting Right. I'm pleased to be back again. How time flies. And as usual, I want to start the programme with this week's report from Sheldon Neidl. As anyone who regularly listens in will know, I put a great faith in the messages that come through Sheldon Neidl, and this week again is no exception. There are some very good parts of it which I will relate to you. The message begins by saying, as you begin to look at the universe with your new fully conscious eyes, you will see a living being that we call the child of creation. And this living universe is quite complex. She consists of a spiritual domain which contains another that you presently know as physicality. He goes on to explain that physicality is layered like an immense onion, and each layer comprises a great number of sections, and that these sections in turn consist of similar realities clustered around a definite part of each physical dimension. He goes on to say that within these are found the various galaxies, stars, and so forth that are physical reality as we know it. And he says consciousness is in everything, even the seemingly artificial object that you manufacture has a semblance of this grand design within it, and that this energy is taken from the soul force that you provided when this reality was originally created. Goes on to say that heaven is built upon an essential, sacral orderliness quite unlike what your present logic perceives. Hence, to permit you to comprehend this divine order, heaven long ago gave many inquisitive souls on your world the concept of sacred councils and divine orders. In actuality, these function in a manner quite different from the way councils and orders operate on your world. Each order is like a river flowing from her divine source in Aeon. It is these orders that carry forth the divine decrees of the Creator. I think that's interesting because we obviously obtained the idea from somewhere to have these councils or orders, or I suppose governments are another version of it, where we try to put our best people, by whatever measure you determine that, in positions where they can lead us and make decisions on our behalf. And he goes on to say that councils are like points of dispatch, and that where they are in the upper dimensions, the myriad sacred orders come together and intuitively direct how, when, and where the many decrees of the divine plan are revealed, and that when these groupings of heavenly orders and allied sacred councils reach physicality, they form into soul groups and larger soul families. Well, I totally go along with what he said there, and who am I to in any way disagree, but it does fit in, I think, with the teachings that have been around for quite a long time. He goes on to say that in physicality, various concepts of light and dark exist, and says, remember that the purpose of physicality is to be a sacral testing ground in which all possibilities are explored, and that out of these countless results, the chosen path for the divine plan is shown and simultaneously realized by heaven. He goes on to say, this divine process lets each part of physicality interact directly with heaven, and that it is this system that you become more aware of as you grow in consciousness. In fact, a major byproduct of increased perception is sensing how the veil between the worlds works and then planning to end it. He says you are transitioning between the world that you presently know and the one that you clearly sense in front of you. saying, talking of themselves, we already exist in the realm that you are fast approaching. And now we come to a part that I thought was particularly important. He says that we are working on another possibility wherein our special intervention becomes more direct as and where needed. And this special role gives us a great deal of responsibility for successfully moving you from your present much troubled realm into one quite similar to that which we now enjoy. In effect, we are moving you from the difficulty of a realm based on duality to one based on divine love. Now, what I pick up there is that in earlier messages, people who come through Sheldon Nidal have indicated that they have been given by divine decree the authority to intervene if they feel it is necessary. And that part of the message I read out seems to confirm that that is the case, but I sense from it that there is perhaps a move towards becoming more direct, and with the current situation, as I see it, escalating in the Middle East, and with the threat against Iran, and the rumours that there may be an attack on that country by the end of the month, I can't help wondering whether we are being told in advance that there may possibly be an intervention as a result of that incident. He goes on to talk about the dance of death has the potential to lead you to what was referred to during the Cold War as the unthinkable, and says this potential forces us to monitor your world very closely and to do what is necessary to hasten first contact. Now, it begs the question, what is the unthinkable? And I would guess that the unthinkable when the Cold War was taking place was that the two major forces of the world, the Americans and the Russians, would come together in some nuclear holocaust. So it would seem to me that there is a likelihood that if George Bush attempts to use nuclear weapons on Iran, that the ETs will actually intervene. And hopefully that may bring an end to that government, and we may perhaps see that as the first step towards the changes. So the next couple of weeks or so will be extremely interesting to see what way it develops. Sheldon Nidal's message goes on to say that a special worldwide operation is finally readying itself to go public. That's obviously, I guess, referring to their allies upon the earth. And again, I can't help wondering if it's readying itself to go public because they are already aware that the ETs may be coming to intervene over the next perhaps 3 to 4 weeks. But in any event, it's very good to hear that the operations that are going on the earth, I would suppose, to legally and correctly move Bush and his government, are going ahead and have reached that point where they can go public. That's all I intend to read from Sheldon Nidal's message, but I would add my own comment now that it would appear that the chief prosecutor, Patrick Fitzgerald, is still working hard at producing the indictments for the list of people that have often been put around. And there is now some indication that he may have reached a certain point where Bush and Cheney are concerned that we may see some development. So on a couple of fronts there, there are definitely things happening, and there are definitely some possibilities that we may see some good action for a change. So I'll leave that one there. My next section is to cover what I call general news. I found one or two older bits of information, but I think they're still relevant. So I will go through what I've got in what I would call date order. So I'll read the oldest and come up to the latest news. Now, one that I kept back, which came through, believe it or not, in January, which I didn't see a lot of reference to, was an article that appeared on the Truth Seeker website. And I don't know whose name was penned to this article, because I didn't actually go onto the site. But someone circulated some of the information, and I quote, as per the email, that I know someone on the NSC, and they told me this morning that they really wish the CIA would be a little more accomplished in their fakes. And then it says, his reasoning, question mark? And the answer was, it has been known officially that Bin Laden died of kidney failure in a Pakistani hospital in August of 2002, and obviously isn't making any tapes now. Alive Bin Laden, however, is a good bogeyman with which to terrify the American public into slavishly believing our government is trying to protect them. Secondly, there is no reference to the Quran in the message, something always found in original Bin Laden announcements. Thirdly, the fake Bin Laden does not make any references, as original messages have, to the past Western atrocities against Muslims, and finally, the tape is far too short. Now, that much will obviously ring a bell with some of you, because it clearly relates to that video tape that was shown where allegedly Bin Laden was making a speech. And I must also say, I did read a separate comment saying that facially he did not appear to be the real Bin Laden, and they suspected that he was a fake anyway. So there you are. What may lie beneath that one, I don't know, but it's interesting to know that possibility in case more Bin Laden messages turn up. Again, and towards the end of January, there was an email floating around headed Middle East News, came from GMT, and all I simply wanted to relate from here was that Saddam Hussein's lawyers were aiming to file a case against Tony Blair and US President George Bush at a European International Court regarding the alleged illegal invasion and occupation of a sovereign state. And it said that President of the Jordan Bar Association, Sally Amorti, a new member of Saddam's defense, said with their client's consent, a lawsuit would be filed that week. And that was the last week of January. So whether or not that went ahead, I've no idea, but it's an interesting turnaround, isn't it, for someone who's being tried for their own crimes. So there you are. That caught my eye, and I thought that worth repeating. Again, at the end of January, there was another email floating around about the impeachment hearings, and again, unfortunately, I can't see where this one originated from. I don't always have the full details, but it was talking about the Bush administration bracing itself for impeachment hearings in Congress, and it was, quote, a coalition in Congress is being formed to support impeachment. And sources say the prelude to the impeachment process could begin with hearings by the Senate Judiciary Committee in February. And they said the hearings would focus on the secret electronic surveillance program and whether Mr. Bush violated the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Went on to say, talking about some of the laws connected with that, that the law limits the government surveillance to no more than 72 hours without a court warrant. The president, citing his constitutional war powers, has pledged to continue wiretaps without a warrant. Then I noticed a little bit later on, Senator Arlen Specter, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman and the Pennsylvania Republican, has acknowledged that the hearings could conclude with a vote of whether Mr. Bush violated the law. That's all I wanted to read out of there. It's just another indication that there is always something happening that might force the issue here. Perhaps in the end it will be the collective state of all these moves to try and move this particular government. Something that relates to, really, I suppose, in a way, the Sheldon Nidal message, and certainly to my comments about it, was the quote from the website Prison Planet about a Russian MP who says that the US are to attack Iran in late March. And this came via Paul Joseph Watson on February the 7th. And he was talking of a Russian parliamentary leader who told a certain radio station that an attack on Iran is inevitable and that it will occur on March the 28th. Went on to say that rhetoric has heated significantly in the past week with Donald Rumsfeld, and the day before he warned that a military option was on the table, echoing the comments of Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, who said the US was prepared to take military action. A little later in the report, a person called Shirinovsky told the Russian radio station that the war is inevitable because the Americans want this war. Any country claiming a leading position in the world will need to wage wars. Otherwise, it will simply not be able to retain its leading position. So there you are. I've seen that claim made a number of times regarding that particular date. So maybe there is no smoke without fire, as they say. Again, at the back end of January, there was a report by Doug Thompson, who is a publisher of Capitol Hill Blue, and he was quoting something that Bush told the reporters, that he will assert his presidential prerogatives any damn way he pleases, and he will do so without apology, without question, and without concern for the law, the Constitution, or the rights of Americans. And Doug Thompson went on to say his press conference was a frightening study of a madman on a tear. Or was it a tear? An insane, power-mad tyrant who believes he is above the law and cannot be questioned. Sadly, it appears that no one has the balls to question his lunacy. And he said, I'm going to continue to do everything within my authority to protect the American people. Oh, that's what Bush told reporters. And Doug Thompson said, that's Bush speak for, I'm in charge here, you dumb pukes, and there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. So that's all I wanted to quote from that. Just shows perhaps the state of mind and of the President of the United States there. Now, I have an article here that came out again at the end of January, and it was referring back to the video of Osama bin Laden, and that was apparently found by American troops in Afghanistan in December 2001. In which bin Laden says he orchestrated the attacks. And this report is saying it is not bin Laden. And apparently the Scholars for 9/11 Truth compared that video with a photo of the real bin Laden and argue that there are discrepancies in the ratio of nose length to nose width, as well as distance from tip of nose to earlobe. There you are. That was the item I referred to when I earlier mentioned the other report about bin Laden. Have another report from the Wrens.com site, and this originated from Thomas Bouyer. That was on the, appears to be going back a while. Now, I haven't actually got the proper date there, but it came out in the middle of this month. Well, we're near the middle now, aren't we? Anyway, it's referring to Stanley Hilton, who was a senior advisor to Senator Bob Dole and has personally known Rumsfeld and Wolfovich for decades, and says that this courageous man has risked his professional reputation, possibly his life, to get this information out to people. And following a visit to Alex Jones' radio show, the comment was made, this 9/11 was all planned. This was a government-ordered operation. Bush personally signed the order. He personally authorized the attacks. He is guilty of treason and mass murder. And that's an actual quote from Stanley Hilton. And a bit later on, let me see, trying to see what the name is here. Yes, that is Alex Jones again, said he is back with us. He is former Bob Dole's chief of staff, very successful counsellor, lawyer. He represents hundreds of the victims' families of 9/11, and he is suing Bush for involvement in 9/11. And he mentioned that now a major Sotheby poll out, half of New Yorkers think the government was involved in 9/11. And that was it. There's not much more to the report. But again, you've got this sort of damning evidence that must be building up like mad. Now, on March the 11th, from the website commondreams.org, was an article by Ralph Nader called White House Outlaws. And I'll read the first part of it because I think that's the most relevant. And he says, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, two top outlaws, smashing our country's rule of law and democratic liberties, are testing the American people's resistance. Every day they are testing. Every day they think by flaunting the words war and terror, they can get Americans to concede more and more of what makes the United States a constitutionally abiding government under the rule of law. And he says, you know what? With not enough exceptions, they are right. Day by day, we're giving up what our forefathers fought to bequeath us since that famous Declaration of Independence of 1776. They were determined that people in this country would not be arrested without charges and jailed indefinitely, that they would not be tortured or sent to be tortured in dictatorial regimes or deprived of habeas corpus to take their incarceration to our courts of law, or be snooped on at the whim of the president and his deputies, or that people in faraway lands would be destroyed in the tens of thousands due to a fabricated war invasion quagmire. They instituted a constitution so that the people would not be jailed without probable cause, or be lied to about taking this country and its soldiers to war, or have shoved across the checks and balances represented by American courts and the Congress. All of these are being done by two pro-Vietnam War draft dodgers. What does all this tell you about all of us and out there in the great United States of America? A giant yawn of who cares by citizens, nearly two-thirds of whom have now turned against these two White House fabricators in poll after poll regarding the war. The surrender to big business, the gross incompetence in managing taxpayer dollars, and the Katrina disaster. But listen, the rumble of resistance and opposition is getting louder, and not just from the increasing number of public demonstrations around the country. And I will quote finally, that it's said that a new Sotheby poll reports that 72% of American soldiers serving in Iraq think the US should get out of there within the next year, including 58% of the Marines. Three quarters of the National Guard and Reserve units support withdrawal within 6 months, and every month more former high-ranking military officers, intelligence officials, and diplomats are declaring their opposition to the war. One has to think that one good move from somewhere that would get the ball rolling would possibly see the end to all this business. So let's hope it's starting. There was an email referring to Barbara Boxer, who was holding a protest over the weather modification bill. That again was only a few days ago. And this was mentioned on the wealthforfreedom.com website. And there's only a tiny bit on the quote here, but it said that if you don't believe weather has been controlled and used, think the last 4 years under Bush and how many hurricanes were misdiagnosed by specialists, patterns never seen, etc. This was already being used, think New Orleans. It's called HARP. They can't create a hurricane, but they can give it an extra push and direct it to a more focused area. So that was it. Obviously, you'd need to read the full report on the Wren's website to understand fully what they are referring to there. Again, in the last few days, there was reference to an SF Chronicle impeachment ad, which went out on that day, which was the 13th of March. And they said, congratulations to everyone. The impeachment movement has done it again. Today's San Francisco Chronicle carries the full-page ad calling for the impeachment of Bush, Cheney and other high officials. And this ad comes directly on the heels of the widely and nationally reported actions by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors calling for the Democratic delegation to support impeachment in Congress. And you can see a copy of the ad, and it's genuine, and it comes from a site called impeachbush.org. So there you are. So it's all happening. Global News Matrix, January the 13th. I've kept this one around a while, but I kept holding on to it because I just wanted to quote this little tiny bit from it. It was about a New York mother who lost her daughter on 9/11, and she's still searching for truth and accountability. And it says that Donna Marsh O'Connor, who is the lady concerned, has been shunned by CNN and other large networks since her views are critical of the Bush administration's handling and cover-up of 9/11. And Greg Szymanski of that site went on to discuss it because Donna Marsh O'Connor lost her daughter at the WTC tower, and she is one of many grieving family members still fighting against insurmountable odds to get to the truth at 9/11. There you are. Wrote some of her comments. In fact, it was the best part of a five-page printout on that article. So that's all I wanted to mention there. Come up now to my final article in the news section. And this is one that I picked up today. And it comes from Amnesty International USA. And they were talking about Yahoo. And there was a little article that mentioned that in China, they identify internet dissidents to the Chinese government. And they have agreed to disclose information of private users' emails. And apparently, as a result, some dissidents have been arrested, and who knows what might happen to them. But of course, the article is very critical of Yahoo doing this, and you have to say this may be the thin edge of the wedge, or perhaps it's even the thick edge, because you have to wonder, once these things start happening, how long it will take before they will be nearer home. And that, I think, is always the worry with anything when they create a precedent like that. Now, I'll go on to my next section, which is a review of my own messages. But I'm going to keep it short and sweet and pick out really just a few main points, because I'd like to obviously get as much in this program as possible. And I know that some time near the end of the program will be available for people who might want to phone in. Now, last Saturday, I had St. Germain through, and he was talking of the new energies and their effect, and asking us to keep refining our light, and telling us that we can control our own life, and that we shouldn't rely too much on other people, and that there does come a time when, if you follow other people's lead, you suddenly want to break out and find your own way, find your own answers, and I think he's encouraging that. On Monday, I had Atmos through, and he did mention a very important point, that an ultimatum had been given to the government leaders to step down, and that if they ignored the will of the people, that they would be removed. I suspect that's not actually the first time there's been reference to something of that nature. I'm sure Sheldon Neidel's people have mentioned something to that effect before. On Tuesday, I had St. Germain again, and he gave a very nice article talking about life on Earth and talking about how we use violence against one another. discussing the death penalty and how that didn't really help the victims, and that it would be far better if we had to imprison them, that we had a system of trying to rehabilitate them, and that would give them a chance to maybe change their life's direction. And he mentioned that any kindness or love given to these type of people does help. He went on to talk about death row and how that was added mental torture. And I don't think he was very keen on the idea at all. And as you know, in some countries now, the death penalty doesn't exist at all. He did branch out and say, be your own person and not to rely on others. So that was really following the earlier comment I made. On Wednesday, I had Aga Greer, and he's another member of the Galactic Federation, and he said that they were talking of their desire to move ever upwards, and that we also have this innate desire, even if it's subconscious, always to push onwards and to push forwards. On Thursday, I had St. Germain again, and his article was, generally speaking, telling us about taking responsibility for our own lives, learning self-responsibility, and covering the areas of life and its plan, which normally works out for each and every one of us, and how we should take note of what crosses our path. Because nothing happens by coincidence. Even if we seem to be there for somebody else's benefit, for their life plan, it still has a lesson in it for us. Finally today, I had Salazar through, and he was talking about the escalation of the war in the Middle East through the bombing of Samarra, and he was talking generally of the stupidity of war and how it achieves nothing, and indeed the exact opposite. So there you are, that's all I want to talk about on the review. I shall now refer briefly to a few UFO sightings. I'm going back to something I referred to before, and this is one of the special editions of the Flying Saucer Review, which came out in 1966. And they went to the trouble of listing a whole bookful of ET contacts. And there's many, many of them. I'm quite surprised at how many were reported, and that obviously doesn't allow for the ones that went unreported. And it did seem to me that when the governments, etc., talk of UFO sightings and they deny them, or they make perhaps allowance for 5 to 10% as being unexplainable, you realise that they rarely, if ever, refer to ET contacts. And here we are with intelligent craft being manoeuvred around, with beings getting out, being seen, and sometimes making some sort of telepathic contact. And yet that rarely comes up. And I suppose that is deliberately avoided, because how do you explain these visitors to Earth, which are clearly not of the Earth? Now, I'll just read one or two, because I do want to start getting through the messages of light, which is one of the reasons I call this program Connecting the Light. But in general, I think we can touch these other subjects, because somehow I think they all sort of join up together. Now, in the UK, apparently in 1957, there was a mother who was in the busy complex of Birmingham, which is quite a big city in the UK, in England, and she had a most unusual experience. She went up to an upstairs sitting room at the back of the house to check whether her baby daughter was okay, and suddenly she sensed an oppressiveness like that preceding a thunderstorm. And then she saw the figure of a man by the fireplace to the left. And she said, the image appeared after the fashion of a TV picture, first blurred and then clear, and the materialisation was accompanied by a whistling noise. And she was frightened, but suddenly realised that she was being calmed by the man's influence. and the man was tall and fair, with a tight-fitting garment made of a substance like a plastic raincoat, and the collar rose up behind the head like an Elizabethan collar. And she said his lips moved, as in speech, but she heard nothing. And then she realised that questions which were racing through her mind were being answered mentally. And she claimed that he said he was from another world, and that he was looking for substances down here. And that search was usually conducted in the oceans. Now, that's a very firm contact. And within a couple of months, she even had a second contact. And on that occasion, she saw two beings. Now, I think whatever the psychologists say about people and try to tell them all of this is a product of their mind, or perhaps is in the mind, must be very difficult to really be serious about that explanation for that type of contact. The survey that was done also included contacts that were made in France, and there was one in a place called Quarouble where a metal worker came out of his house as a dog barked, and he saw a dark object on the railway tracks, thinking it is a carriage. Then he noticed two small beings walking towards it, and he tried to stop them, but found himself paralyzed when strong light was projected upon him, and then the object took off. Again, in another place in France, and this is all in September 66, it says a white light suddenly swept the road in front of the witness, who observed it was emitted by a large dark object hanging about 10 metres above the ground, and then it flew off with a noise and throwing sparks compared to those of magnesium. That's a bit unusual, isn't it? They're not usually described like that. And then there was near Senon a farmer who met a being in a diving suit who made friendly gestures, and he said this individual was very small and had a voice inhuman and incomprehensible. And the witness was paralyzed and unable to move throughout the encounter. And he said the being entered an object which was sitting on the road and took off like lightning, throwing out a greenish light. And I will finally mention one which happened near a place called Le Joux, north of Bourges. And a family saw a bright object giving off a light similar to magnesium. And when on the ground, it emitted a red glow and a narrow beam of light. And a moment later, it took off again, became bright once more, came towards the witnesses and followed their car until they reached the village of Fontland. And it said independent observations were made by the police and by several other persons, and the object flew erratically over the area for 1 hour. 1 hour? 1 hour, yes. There are various reports like that, but I think maybe that's enough from that particular collection. But I think it's possibly unique. I really haven't come across any outfit that's made a detailed collection of what are in the main in this booklet, ET Contacts. Now I want to come to the what I call the messages of light. These cover all dates, and in fact I'll be reading from the most recent ones, although often this type of material doesn't really date at all, unless of course it's in the manner of predicting events that are coming up. This one came from, where are we, looking for the name here, seems to be a source called Heaven. And this is called Great Light on Earth, March the 9th this year. And they talk in the terms of what God said. And this article was saying, whatever blessings you have received in life, get ready for more. How does this news make you feel? The sense of enlightenment is how you get ready for more good to come to you. If you had 100 blessings, gear yourself up for 1,000 more. Waves of blessings. Blessing like a line of fairy tale princesses, each one more magnificent than the one before. You will be amazed, fulfillment of desire is fast approaching. Keep your dreams coming, and they will be added to the list. the Santa Claus sleigh is being loaded up, and there is always room for more, and more, and more will accrue along the way. And the saying, you are about to receive a great many gifts at your door. You will discover desires fulfilled that you didn't know you had. They were yours all the time. Fulfillment of desires will be like the sun, which was always yours, appearing at your front door. A big shining sun, which you didn't realize you had invited, comes to your threshold and fills your house. Now open your windows wide, and the sun shines out from where you are. Consumed by the sun, you radiate it. You did not know how much you wanted the quality of sun to enter your home. You always knew the sun was shining somewhere, only you didn't know how much, and how much of it was for you. I think that's rather nice, almost poetic, isn't it? And I think the reference to the sun generally means the light, and it possibly is telling us that more light is now coming into our lives, and we certainly know that more light is being beamed to the earth. Now, I have an extract here from a message from St. Ander, and this came through on the 30th of January. I don't know the group, unfortunately. It's a rather small extract, but this is the quote from it. To all in doubt, I say, have firm resolve in your expectations for the better way. It has never been so important that you remain in touch with this new reality. You now have the opportunity to manifest very quickly, and it is time to use this to your advantage. Be clear in your desires, never waver. Be committed to your new world, and we say unto you that these changes will be here in an instant. Your belief in these changes has taken you where you are now, and it will take you to the end if you keep your hopes high. Use this time to bring about changes in your lives. Use this time to manifest all that you desire, regardless of the current outcome. You all hold the potential for great change, and it is still up to you to stay committed to your truth. We say to you that the time is upon you, and clearly it is. This momentum cannot be stopped, and your added light will bring forth your desires that much faster. Stand tall and proud. Be of the light, and the light will come to be. That's rather nice, isn't it? Short and sweet, but telling us what a lot of messages have, that we have power in creation through our desires, and if we keep a focus on them, we can actually bring them into being eventually. I have one here from a source which is called RM, which comes through the Amiga Communications Co.nz, New Zealand. And this was part of a longer message that came through on the 2nd of February. And RM said, we have come forth to you, and we call you forth, bringing another depth to your experience, another depth to consciousness, maintaining stability where you are as you open to new possibilities within the potential around you. And this in turn passes into different fields around you that convey different emotions and thoughts and a sense of transition. Come movement. We begin to bring you together into a condition where you will have different visions appearing to you, and you will be operating from a different level of understanding. The visions happen as different aspects of your senses come into operation. So this journey and transmission is a progression from where you have moved to. Existing as you are in this state of stillness, we are with you in that state that is the core essence of all of creation. And with your awareness being one with the core essence, you will also experience the shift within your subtle bodies as the information from that source moves into your receptive areas. In particular, there are layers of emotional responses that are contained within the human conditioning that will be being nudged aside, allowing a greater wholeness that is in you to be present. And if we speak upon this aspect, it is to do with these different layers existing within your energy field that part and move aside as this movement, the uprising of the indwelling core essence, seeks to be expressed and to work through you and as you. So all sensations of judgments, doubts, anxieties, and everything that is not of love you will be experiencing to be discarded. And this pathway that is open to you in this transmission is the central point that we have been bringing you to over many of the transmissions. We have referred to this many times, but there is the opening that allows you to experience it. The impact of this will come through into your outer life in ways that you allow it to. And to allow yourself to shift and explore new options and to release the energy into specific places within you and within your world. Finally, the energy itself has been seeking to correct imbalances and misunderstandings. And so you will have found that in your daily relationships, you have been compelled to proceed with matters to clear them up. And this is the action of the energy, the pureness, seeking to be expressed. And when more of the beloved agents in the earth can construct the working with this, we will be sharing the greater action and transformation and upliftment beyond this that you experience. And this that you experience is an uplifting state, if you allow it to be. Generally speaking, I see that as a message telling us that we have to clear these negative energies that may still be attached to us. And we're being given this opportunity right here and now. So that was a message, or part of the message, from Aurum. And of course, as you will realize from that, there are ongoing transmissions to the group that follow those messages every time they come out. I don't think they're weekly, but quite frequently. I have an article here that came off a site called awesomeawf.altreality.hop, whatever all that means. It was headed Access to the Infinite Universe. It says that the higher self has access to the infinite universe in all spheres of life and reality, beyond space and time, as well as every aspect of your existence, including past, present, and future physical lives relative to the Earth concept of time. The higher self is most important both in day-to-day life and for the ongoing journey along the path back to God, constantly advising, guiding, prompting, inspiring, and alerting whenever appropriate. The higher self manifests in the individual consciousness as the inner voice, which can be heard by anyone who listens and recognizes it for what it really is. Your higher self is sublime. It does not have any particular agenda beyond your ongoing well-being and is completely incapable of misleading or providing incorrect guidance. The higher self is ultimately concerned with your smooth ongoing journey along the sacred path, the ascent back to the source, the first cause, God, from whence we all originated, and is completely devoted to that most sacred task. The higher self can and should always be totally trusted. Evidently, that was an extract from a book called Our Ultimate Reality by Adrian Cooper. I think people generally accept that they have some form of a higher self, and I must say, speaking personally, that I do try to speak with my higher self, and I do listen for guidance. And I think it's perfectly correct to say that you cannot be misled. But I guess there is a possibility that if you haven't quite got to that level, that you may mistakenly feel that your ego is your higher self. And of course, that can be misleading. Your ego really reflects what you would like to do if you didn't have a higher self, that's the way I look at it. Anyway, let's carry on a little bit more. Part of the message that was given by another lady on my website, Nancy Tate, and I just wanted to give an extract of a message that came out on the 18th of January. And it reads that rather than giving energy to that which you do not like, turn it around and see the light, the positive in everything that you see and experience, if you must give it any attention at all. If you find that you do not come up with anything positive to say about something, then bless it, simply bless it, and go on your way giving attention to the something that brings you enjoyment, peace, and a good feeling. When you go about your day's activities, how do you approach them? Do you see them as being beneficial to you, or do you grumble and wish you could do something else? Do you see your world begrudgingly, or do you see it as being an opportunity for growth and creation of something desirable? This is where you have the power to overcome the outcome of your activities. Here is where you develop the world that you desire. Go ahead, give it a try. See what happens when you live your life in love with everything that comes along. And that was a call that Nancy, it's a wake-up call that Nancy took from Hatton, one of the higher beings. I think it's very pertinent, isn't it, to see the best in everything. Be very positive, speak positively, and bless the things around you. Bless your own joy for being here and for all the opportunities that the earth gives. It can be hard at times, but it's also a wonderful place that can be very enlightening and also very satisfying. Right. I now refer to something that's, now that we're already almost a quarter of the way through the year, which is incredibly amazing. But this is an article from News for the Planet Earth, from a website of that name. And I just wanted to quote a little bit out of a message given by Archangel Uriel for the year 2006. And as we're a little way into it, I suppose it's beginning to sound a little bit more relevant. And it said that my sources have already informed me that next year we'll be trying from the perspective of Earth changes, and they will give us more information as we move into the new year. We must first integrate energies that we have recently received. That is obviously the person doing the channeling, making the comments at this stage. And he says that the memory of Archangel Uriel was haunting me. Earlier, when I thought about the cobra, I felt that perhaps it was a symbol of the rise of human kundalini, but after the tsunami, I felt that, yes, the cobra did present kundalini, but it is pertaining to water and the giant waves that flooded the land. And he said that kundalini is an awakening, and this event of water is an awakening to Earth. If you recall, scientists have told us that the event of the earthquake and tsunami last year caused Earth to change its tilt of axis somewhat. And he goes on to say, messages that I have forwarded from Archangel Michael and Jesus tell us that when Atlantis fell, the axis of the Earth changed, and to be directly aligned to the cosmic center again, Earth's axis must be moved back to that former alignment. Now, I jump on a little bit where the message from Archangel Uriel is coming in, and he's saying that my message to the world was to read Chaos Before Creation, which is obviously a book, to understand that nothing can be carried to the next dimension that holds energies of past traumas. As you're aware, the seed of trauma stays on Earth to be picked up again during the next lifetime. In the future, there will be no dimension on Earth as deep as the third dimension. For those who still have not cleared the energies of pain from past lifetimes, they will of necessity go to other realms where the dimensions are as dense as this one. And finally, it was necessary for me to come to you and explain to the world just how important diffusing these past energies are to the support of their soul to the higher realms. So I picked that one up really because it confirms something that comes through quite often, which I guess most people that follow the messages accept, is that you have another Earth, which those who are not destined or wish to actually ascend upon can go to an earth that is prepared very much of the same vibration or dimension that we are on at present. So, looking at my clock now, I'm not too near the end, but I will refer to a message that came from, where are we, looking for the name now, it's not on the top of my notes. It was a message that came through in mid-January, and it was headed 2006, Year of Transformation, and it was a message from someone who signs as Goddess, and it was talking about the blending of male and female to create balance. And I still can't find the name, but it simply read that the next year itself, that is 2006, will continue to have more of these experiences that will assist it in releasing old energies, that in turn will allow for a greater blending with the new energies. What is essential for you, the human, to remember is to be in your space of peace, be in a space of acceptance, and we know that is much harder to do when you are the one in the midst of whatever may be happening. So everyone else can then connect to any situation and create that focus for all who are immediately involved. It goes on to say that each of you has spent this past year creating change within your life. For some, it has already manifested. For others, it may be that you have done the preparation and now you are waiting for how it will manifest. Be open to a multitude of potentials. Be aware that there are many ways that you will manifest within your life. Know and understand that that from your divine aspect of yourself is creating all that is happening. Your divine aspect puts forth a multitude of potentials. And then, your human aspect reacts to those potentials. There are other individuals within your life who have an effect upon you. There are situations in your life that no matter where it has come from, be aware that you are connected. Be aware that every situation is about growth or evolution. Beloved family, that does not mean that every experience that you will have in the coming year will be about struggle. It need not be so. And goes on to say, as you're moving into this new year upon the earth, let go of that pain, sorrow, and any suffering that you may still have around you. Allow yourself to take a breath of energy and release anything that has been holding you back. Release it with love. Release it with a sense of caring for yourself. Release it in whatever form is best for you. Anyway, that's all I'll quote from that one. Not by total coincidence, strangely enough, actually follows one of the earlier messages I was reading from, and it confirms again that we need to work on ourselves and that we've got to bring this blending of the energies together. This is all in preparation for the main reason for us being here in these end times, and that is to have the opportunity to ascend. And messages, generally speaking, tell us that everything is going well. We've got more and more energies beaming to the earth. And I think it follows that as we rise up in our own vibrations, so we have the ability to take in even more and more high vibrations. And after first contact, and when our friends come from outer space, and the masters return to earth, and perhaps some of the people already on the earth that are prepared to act as teachers come into their own, I think we will evolve in readiness for ascension very rapidly. It appears to me that I'm at the end of my program, and I will therefore thank you for being with me and hope you enjoyed the extracts that I've read from. And I will hope that you will be with me next Friday at the usual time. Thank you very much. May God bless you all. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.